From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I am Hunter in Dallas, and joining me in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado is Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Hello.
And in the wild outback of Stria, there is Mr. Stuart Boak. Say hello, Stuart.
Hello, and you are aware that the last time the three of us recorded anything together was 8 months ago.
It's been a long time.
It's been a hell of a long time.
Is it really 8 months? Is
yeah,
it, that long?
It was the last time the three of us sat and recorded was the 29th of October.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So, fun fact for the day right there.
My goodness.
Well, I haven't been on all year this year at all. And I was on, the last one was December, which was yourself, me, and Daniel, when he joined us for the Killing Joke one. That was it.
That's right. Huh. Yeah, that's right. John wasn't on for that one.
No. And the one before that was the one we did was All Killer, No Filler, which seems to be the most downloaded one. So I've just worked out, in future, let's not even bother watching movies. Let's just talk. It seems to be the most popular one.
Let's just show up and just talk about whatever's on our mind.
Yeah.
Midnight Movies Coffee Clatch.
Yeah.
Midnight Movie Tangents. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Just rattle on for two. Oh, yeah. Nesbitt was saying he. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Nesbitt was saying he loves the tangents. He goes, I can't get enough of them. So,
well. I thought the Michael Medved tangent on the last one we did, John, was pretty good.
Probably made the show, I guess. Were we actually playing the Leonard Maltin game with Michael Medved?
I think so.
Because I've heard about the Leonard Maltin game. I've never actually heard them play it on whatever show. I guess it's Pothead does the movies or something like that. Because a lot of these podcasts are just guys that smoke weed and, you know, claim to be comedians.
Not Leonard Maltin.
So Kevin Smith is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Surely you don't class Leonard Maltin as a pothead.
No.
Say it isn't so. Not Leonard Maltin, the 1.5-star bomb man. Although those books were an essential buy back in the 90s, I'm not going to lie. I bought them every year.
Would he give movies the turkey rating instead of like one skin out turkey?
Bomb.
Who did that?
No, that was the Video Movie Guide.
Yeah, I remember seeing those at like used church book sales.
Yeah, opening up
and I'd go to the movies that were turkeys and I'd go, I want to see those.
Yeah, well, it's like on the last episode that John and I were discussing about Miami Vice when the reviewer here, I think it was Lee Patch, he gave the people under the stairs half that day. I went out and watched it after work. New Jack City gave like 1 out of 5, so I went and watched that straight after work back in when it came out. So it was almost like a magnet. If it was a shit rating, I had to go and watch it.
Yeah.
Same with Trespass. He gave Trespass like 0.5 out of 5. He's like, I'm gonna watch it straight after I finish work.
So real quick, John, how many stars did Michael Medved give in The Heights?
In The Heights?
Out of four.
I'm going to say 3.
4 stars, baby.
Shit,
In The Heights
I'm always close. Fuck.
But In The Heights is Kino, all right? Pixar's Luca. Pixar's Luca. How many?
I'll say 4.
3.5. So
God
close.
Damn it!
And Fast and Furious 9, last one.
2 stars.
Two, perfect. Boom. You got it.
Oh,
got it.
Finally. Score one for Holly Weird.
Sorry,
I just realized, Hunter, people confuse our voices quite often.
They do,
so,
really.
Yeah, I may have to do like a Lou Costello and change my voice for the radio. Because, as you know, Abbott and Costello, when they started doing radio, they sounded exactly alike. And so Lou had to do like the curly voice.
I could just talk like Arnold the whole time.
So yes.
See, I don't have that problem. You two do. Yeah. I don't. And the one that the chicks always like the most is mine. It's not you two either.
That's
because
true.
They can tell you apart.
Yeah.
Oh man. So what are we talking about this week, guys? We are talking about Crime Story.
Yes.
Crime Story, the Michael Mann produced TV series, which started in 1986, and it stars the great Dennis Farina. And what I appreciate about Dennis Farina is that he can play a really hard, tough guy here. Like in this show, he's like Mike Hammer or something.
Yep.
You know, right. Like he's a tough cop who's going to whip the crap out of anybody who gets in his way. You know, he's gonna go roast a weenie lawyer out in the courtroom, you know. But Dennis Farina, he can also play a total worm POS and do it so well, like in Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Where he can just totally be a despicable little gross weirdo. But in this, it's like he's a hard cop. I love it. It's also got Stephen Lang. You've got, and in this particular episode, we're talking about the pilot, which is basically feature length. We got David Caruso. We've got John Polito. We've got, I'm forgetting one. There's somebody big in there that I'm forgetting. Anyway, but the show's produced by not Michael Mann, but the pilot is directed by Abel Ferrara, of all people, which I did not expect when I saw that credit pop up. Why do you think Abel Ferrara got this gig, John?
He was trying to work in the TV system, and he shot this, and he shot a pilot, I think, for Stephen Cannell called is it The Highwayman or something like that, with Sam Jones. He did a number of pilots. I think he did a pilot with Ken Wall that was not Wise Guy. He did some TV work at the time because it was a good way. For one thing, you could probably pick up a good crew. Like, you could say, hey, I'm going to start shooting Fear City in New York. You want to leave the TV gig for a while and come be director of photography on my movie? You know, that sort of thing. So it's probably a good way to find talent. But he's also saying that he could work within the system. He wasn't the outlaw director, you know, phony reputation he had in the 90s. You know, like stuff like Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, because before this, he'd done like Miss 45 and Driller Killer. So I was kind of surprised to see his name. I think of him as being sort of a guy who directs artsy trash.
Yeah.
You know? And so seeing him do something a little more legit like this was unusual. It sort of threw me a little bit. But I watched this on Tubi, and the print on Tubi is not great, but it also kind of gives it that gritty, gross feeling that I think enhances the experience.
I think
that's probably the current version available. I know I watched it on Tubi as well. I don't own any set of this TV series, even though I love it.
I thought you owned this one. I thought you owned this one.
No. I own the VHS tape that was released of the pilot. They released it like it was a movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had that
after it had aired. Yeah. It's a New World videotape. Yep. New World Pictures put it out.
And that VHS probably looks as good as the print on TV.
It looks about the same. And they have never gone back to remaster these. And I noticed FilmRise currently owns the show, and usually they go back and remaster stuff, and they haven't done anything with this. So sadly, it might mean that they lost the materials in one of those mythical universal fires that supposedly destroys, you know, negatives and you know, original recordings and stuff. So,
like the Keep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Another Mike fire himself.
Yeah, Michael Mann. You know, we all know how he likes to suppress his own work.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuart, what about you? Where did you first encounter this?
Via the VHS tape John was just talking about. I rented it. I liked it. I liked the cover that came with it. I thought, sounds pretty cool. Popped it in and, really enjoyed it. And then I missed the run of it when it aired on television, so I didn't catch it in 86 when it first aired. I caught it about 2 or 3 years later on tape. Then it got released on DVD over here in two different sets, Series 1, Series 2, by a company called Rainbow Home Video. Now, for those of you who live in Australia, Rainbow Home Video is synonymous with bad quality. However, this set is not too bad. It's not great. I'm not going to pump their tires up, but it's not that bad either. I've seen other Rainbow titles which are absolutely atrocious. So when I looked at it on the back, I'm like, oh no, do I bite the bullet and go for it? And I did, and luckily it's watchable. But as John was saying, it's not had a proper remaster from memory. I know it got a release in, I think, 2012 in the US, and that may have been remastered. I don't know. But it is long out of print. From what I can tell, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, in the early 90s, I would say that one of the big, it would be the lost ark of Laserdisc purchases was, word had it, in Japan, they had released a full Laserdisc box set of the entire series.
Right.
And that was much desired because it would probably have all the original music. Because I think a big fear, and one reason I did not get the DVD set, is I had heard they'd changed the music. Now, the funny thing is, when I watched it on Tubi, it had all the songs I remembered, because I watched the original premiere broadcast back in 86 when apparently like 30 million viewers tuned in. I didn't realize that the ratings were that great for it.
Oh, wow.
And, the Tubi print does have all the music that I remember hearing on the original broadcast.
Okay, so I want to compare it up to the DVD I've got. What were the songs that were in the print you boys watched?
George Thorogood, Long Gone. Of course, you got Del Shannon's Runaway. Yep. You heard
Isn't it Todd Rundgren or something covering Runaway? Or
no, that's Del
no,
Shannon.
That's Del Shannon re-recorded it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so because what you'll find is in the subsequent episodes after this pilot, you will hear that re-recorded Del Shannon's, sadly, just before his death, but you actually see him on stage singing that re-record when he's older. So it's pretty cool. And I can't ever hear Runaway now without thinking about Crime Story. It's just, I can't separate it. Yeah. But no, Todd Rundgren did do music for it, but did yours have the Benny King Stand By Me in there as well? And
yes, it did.
Yeah, it had that. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
Yeah, it seemed like all the songs were intact. It didn't seem like they took anything out.
Yeah, because with me saying that this was released by a backyard company, I don't think they'd bother with clearances. They're like, oh, fuck it, just get it out. We'll worry about the legal ramifications later if they come along. So, that's the only sort of stumbling block I fear this will have in the future if it gets a Blu-ray release. If it does, I'll be checking to make sure all that music's intact, all of it. If it is, I will upgrade. If not, I won't. As much as I want the better quality picture because I really enjoy the show, I can't sacrifice the music because I think, John, as you and I were saying last episode about Miami Vice, did they keep all the music from the show into the DVD releases or not?
I think so.
And I'd always heard Crime Story didn't have all the clearances.
Oh, Crime Story did not.
Okay. And that's what I've read. I haven't watched it myself, and I don't. My memory of the original series, like the subsequent episodes, is not good enough to say, oh, it's missing this tune, it's missing that tune. Because I never like taped them or anything. I don't even think we had a VCR that year.
Mm. Okay.
And two, with Crime Story, you know, with stuff like Miami Vice and this, it has that kind of Michael Mann flair where you get the lens flares and all this kind of style with the shooting, even though Mann's not directing. I mean, it's kind of consistent throughout his work. Even though I like the sort of VHS grit of the version that's on Tubi, it would be nice to see it, you know, cleaned up to look good.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's because it's such a dark show. It's such a contrast to Miami Vice. Because Miami Vice is so bright and colorful, and this is the complete 180 of it, where it's just dark and gritty and sturdy as well, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you do, you still, you, but since it takes place in the early 60s, you do have the pop music of the day. Like Miami Vice had the current pop music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it feels like maybe what that type of show would have been done by Michael Mann in the early 60s.
Yeah. It's a pre-Beatles American pop and rock.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it's before all that.
Kind of a lost, forgotten era of music among American music fans.
Well, it kind of reminded me a little bit of, like, if you watch something like American Graffiti or something like that, where it's a little bit before that, where it's starting to come in, but I or something like Barry Levinson's Diner.
Right.
Remember Diner?
It's a time where it's like Elvis is in the army, so you're not getting Elvis music. There's all this other stuff that's semi rock and roll or kind of pop, a pop version of rockabilly rock and roll, like Del Shannon. And, God, who else would have been big around that time?
Val Dunican.
Who's that?
Val Dunican.
Who's that? Not just Del Shannon, but there's, Frankie Valli, the Four Seasons.
Yeah, Sinatra. Dean Martin.
Yeah, Sinatra.
All those guys.
Dean Martin. Who else?
Max Bygraves.
Dion would have been huge.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people like that. Link Wray. Link Wray would have been something. So. Yeah.
But, you know, you have that, like, that when they go to that wedding and you see the people dancing and stuff like that. I was thinking this is just before rock, you know, like when it really hit. When it, like, you know, not Elvis, but after that, when the Beatles showed up, I was going, this is just right before that.
This is after they succeeded in suppressing rock music.
Yeah.
They put Elvis in the army, and, you know, Carl Perkins didn't get signed to a mainstream label.
And Carl Perkins was in a car crash orchestrated by the FBI.
Right. Roy Orbison, God knows what was happening there.
And they killed Buddy Holly, man. Yeah. They made that plane crash of Buddy Holly in the Big Bopper as well.
Well, yeah, you know, J. Edgar Hoover shot their plane down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
it was Chuck Norris.
It's all a conspiracy. But and you even had that really with when you go to John Polito's house. John Polito plays the gangster. Forget his name. Bartoli.
Yeah.
John Polito plays Bartoli. When David Caruso and Anthony Dennison go to his place, that architecture is very cutting edge for the early 60s. Like, only, you know, it's all that design and all of that is so modern of that time. That would have been, like, considered, that was very new. You know, that look where you have all the rounded edges and, you know, the gaudy colors and the sort of out there modern designs. That is so cutting edge for the early 60s. And by cutting edge in a bad way, I mean, it's hideous, disgusting, but at the time that was brand new.
Out of 10, I need to ask you guys, what would you rate out of 10 Anthony Dennison's rockabilly hairdo?
Oh, that's an 11.
Yeah. Right. that had an art to it.
I was impressed with how it goes up on both sides.
It curls around the edges and it flattens down in the middle. It's on top, and so that's a lot of work.
Yeah, he could have carried water in that thing,
like that old Chinese guy in what's that 36 chamber? Going back carrying the bucket, just sticking on Ray Lucas' head.
Man, that's Stu pulling back. Way back. 36 chambers. It's probably one you haven't seen in a while.
Nah, not with that shit ending. I'm like, I'm never watching this crap again. Terrible ending, never watching it again.
No, can't wait for the Arrow Blu-ray. That's definitely coming.
I'm not joking. I'm being serious. Why don't you just sign up to Arrow? You know, they get their monthly thing. They send you everything.
Do they do that?
Didn't you know that?
No.
No, Arrow have this thing, you pay so much a month and you get everything. They just send you every title they got that month.
I know Vinegar Syndrome does that, but
I'm sure Arrow does as well.
99% of the stuff Vinegar Syndrome puts out, I wouldn't spend money on. Right. But
really? Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Stu's joining.
Yeah, Stu's old porn.
Yeah. Hey, sex and wacko. Fuck
old porn, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can never get enough sex in this life.
The thing with Arrow is I like a lot of the stuff they put out, but there's a lot of stuff I don't want. Like, you know, the weird Japanese, like, Shogun torture stuff. I hate all that crap. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I don't like that stuff.
You know, what you do with that is you wait till it goes out of print and you sell it on and you make
some money.
That's
not a bad idea.
And you pay for the next month by the title that you don't want.
Well, I just need to do like a cost benefit analysis and see how much I spend. You know, lately I haven't been getting a lot of stuff because they haven't put out a lot of stuff I want. But
now you're just spending all your money on Danny Elfman albums.
Exactly. I just bought one Danny Elfman album, and I'm going to hear about it for the rest of my life. You will not live that one down.
That. Hunter Mummy will be clutching Danny Elfman.
Here's the thing, Stu. I do own a copy of the El Duce tapes, which I bought because you did the show on it.
You are a wise man.
Yeah,
it's just Golden Arrow.
That is not an easy watch, though. I mean,
yeah, I heard your show on it, and I was like, I'm going to watch this one day. It sounds like a rough thing to sit through.
When Duce's so wasted, he hasn't even got his hood on properly. He's got his eye holes halfway around his head. He's like, oh, this guy's messed up.
He looks like the KKK members in like Django Unchained when they.
So you didn't spend your money on Record Store Day on a 25th copy of Born Again?
No. Didn't spend another copy of Born Again.
But
I'm not above that.
Did you hear that they found the master tapes of Born Again? I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. Really? They've just been found or something. So God help us, there'll be another reissue of that somewhere along the way.
Ian Gillan can go in and master it to his liking.
He can erase his vocals.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the big sticking point with everyone is how weird it sounds. Like Gillan hates how it sounds.
Here we are. Tony Iommi says original tapes of Black Sabbath's Born Again album have been found. I'm thinking of remixing it.
Well, Iommi also has remixed probably the most forgotten Black Sabbath album, Forbidden, the one that was produced by Ernie C from Body Count.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like apparently Iommi like was very upset with how that album turned out, but he's apparently remastered and he's going to re-release it at some point, but he says he's going to. You can hear Black Sabbath and Ice-T, you know.
those two names should not be together ever. I mean, ever.
Illusion of power. I saw while watching Crime Story, there was an ad because it's Tubi it was Ice-T and Stone Cold Steve Austin promoting laundry detergent.
Oh no.
Yeah. This is how edgy we've gotten this century.
Stone Cold Stone Cold Clean.
Stone Cold Denim Wash. Oh, God.
I'm Ice T, and when I do my laundry, I like to use Tide Pods.
He is pitching everything these days. There's like some phone service where telemarketers, when they call your number, and it goes through to their service. Did you hear Ice T's voice going, yo, speak up loud, I can't hear you. just to aggravate telemarketers.
Yo, man, speak up, or this cop's gonna get smoked, man. Speak the fuck up.
And then he's like he's promoting insurance for car repairs. He's like, yo, man, your car's your baby. You gotta treat it good. It's just like this is insurance that covers costly mechanic bills.
I think one of my favorite Ice-T product hoarings was when he did an audiobook for a Dungeons & Dragons novel.
I want that.
Yes. Oh, look it up. It exists. He did an audiobook. He was like, yo, you sign up for Kindle and you're going to get my Dungeons & Dragons audiobook for free.
he is a sample. And it's
that
like,
can't exist.
It's like, no, I promise you. And he's like, I heard a clip from it. It's like, the winds were so cold as Feanor. The elf rode on the dragon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sure you can get it. It's, oh, man, I got to look this up. Because it exists.
Oh, man, I rolled a charisma, a 9. I'm smoking this elf.
Dragons in the hood, man.
No, oh, no, it wasn't Kindle. It was Audible. Sign up for Audible. Oh, yeah, sign up for Audible.
Oh, get, I must hear this.
It exists, I promise you. It's something by R.A. Salvatore, that guy that just churns out those.
Oh, yeah, that guy just grinds them out. I got some Tarzan novel he did for Tarzan the Epic Adventures of Joe Lara.
Yeah, ooh.
He did a tie-in novel, and so I actually have his work on my shelf.
We need to make that our life mission now, is to get Ice-T to do a promo for this show.
Hey, yo, this is Ice-T. You're listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Yo, fuck that Stuart asshole, man.
Yo, man, I can't tell Hunter and John apart any pizza.
White bread crash.
This guy's got a talking sword. Okay, so the story Ice-T narrates comes from the Dungeons & Dragons anthology, The Legend of Drizzt. D-R-I-Z-Z-T, which also includes narration from Weird Al Yankovic, David Duchovny, Tom Felton, and more.
Oh, come on. Oh,
all that, Dungeon Masters right there.
That just needs Tom Sizemore on there, and we are complete.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay. Legend of Drizzt. Yeah. Legend of Drizzt.
Why don't we do an Ice-T commentary for something? Like,
yeah.
Let's do an Ice-T commentary for this crime story film. Yo, man, Torello's pissed. Look at that motherfucker. Man. He's angry.
Hey, yo, man, you know that David Caruso, you know he's a hothead because he's a redhead. You know what I'm saying? They always line up the handle.
Actually, it reminds me, Caruso showed up in Ferrera's movie, King of New York.
That's right, he did.
Right, because of this.
There would be a lot of cross-pollination between this and Miami Vice and Michael Mann stuff. Because didn't he turn up in, not Caruso, but somebody else turned up in a Michael Mann film? Stephen Lang.
Manhunter.
Stephen Lang was in Manhunter. That's right.
Yeah.
I like Stephen Lang as like the lawyer in this. I thought he was good.
Yeah.
he and Farina having these little like, you know, these, you know,
little
mad dogging each other in the courtroom.
Yeah. I liked it actually when they went to the Indian bar. Who's that picture they threw the axe at? Was it General Custer?
Yeah, it was General Custer.
I thought so.
Yes. That was General Custer.
I thought so. I'm looking at a guy that I don't know who it is, but I'm pretty sure they're throwing an axe at it. I'm sure it's General Custer. I'll ask though. But there are some good comedic little moments in here. You know,
Martin Ferrero shows up.
Oh, really?
He has a small role. He's like he's playing basically the same type of informant weasel character he plays in Miami Vice, and he's in one office scene.
Oh, okay. I actually, at the end credits, I had Andrew Dice Clay listed, but he's not in it. He's in one.
He was a regular on the show in later episodes.
Yeah,
Hickory Dickory Duck.
Yeah, he didn't get to play Dice. Like Vincent Gallo made his TV debut on one episode. I think he has like one line where he goes, "We're moving in."
Is he credited as Prince Vince?
No, he was Vincent Gallo. So
that's an episode right there. That's the episode right there where you need Ice-T doing the commentary going, "Yo, fuck this guy, man. I beat him in that rap battle." Prince Vince.
Isn't Miles Davis in an episode?
He's in Miami Vice. I don't know about Crime Story.
I'm looking right here. It says Miles Davis made a cameo in the first season of the episode The War, playing jazz with Stephen Lang.
He might have. It's possible. I haven't seen the complete run of the series in years.
That was the episode directed by Clint Eastwood. We just shoehorn all the jazz in there.
Under a Bud Dickman name?
Yeah.
Like the Don Rickles character he always uses.
Under the name of Buddy Van Horn. He's suing them.
And speaking of musicians, Paul Anka shows up in an episode.
Oh, getting kind of edgy here.
Yeah. Paul Anka, Debbie Harry, who does not sing, Kevin Spacey.
Uh-oh.
Of course.
Yeah. He plays a Kennedy S. senator.
He puts the crime in the crime story, he does.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to do it. Says it's Kennedy-esque. The crime is a sex crime, you know.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. For two seasons, it's a pretty stacked guest cast on this show. But then again, Michael Mann, you know, he can pretty much get in who he wanted.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people in Miami Vice and this. And what he had some other shows, Vegas.
He created Vegas, but he didn't have anything to do with it after writing the pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was an Aaron Spelling production, so.
Let me ask a question.
He wrote scripts for Starsky and Hutch.
Did he really? I got to check that. Did. I've got that set.
Yeah, he worked on Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, wow. Notice there's nobody in Crime Story or Miami Vice who was in The Keep. It's like they're ostracized forever.
It's funny because as competent and commercial as his TV production was, when it came to like making movies, it's strange how it was almost like the, I don't know, something about the process was like an alternative, or it was a complete opposite of what he did on TV. Like, it was always these movies where he was fighting with the producers, fighting with the studio, and arguing over the proper cut. It's like nothing seemed, with his movie career, it was a little weirder. It's like, I don't know if he was just too demanding when he directed.
Always gone back and changing shit up. Manhunter. That's one of the perfect
examples. That was a headache.
Oh, my God. And as I said in the Manhunter episode, many years back, the full version, which was just all the parts he's chopped and changed between the two or three versions, works perfectly fine as a full cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no parts in there where you think, yeah, that could have gone. It's perfectly fine, but he's always changing shit around. Same with Thief, he's changing shit around all the time. And did he do it with Heat, or did he leave Heat alone? I don't know.
I think he left it alone.
He did a director's cut of Heat, I thought.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure there's a director's cut of Heat. Yeah. He usually goes back and does director's cuts. He didn't do one for Black Hat, as far as I know. But, you know, nobody saw that movie.
It grossed like 50 cents at the box office.
Exactly. Let's see. I know he did one for the Miami Vice movie.
Oh, that's awful.
But Public Enemies, I don't think he did one for Public Enemies, did he? Maybe.
It flopped pretty hard, I think. So.
Yeah. It also looked like complete ass, you know, the digital.
Yeah, the quality of his work is really inconsistent. It's much better.
I don't see a director's cut for Public Enemies. He did one for Miami Vice. I'm pretty sure there's one for Heat. I'm going to check and see.
Has he ever gone back and done anything with LA Takedown apart from remaking it as Heat?
I don't think so.
Hiding it from video release.
I think so. It's just some of those ones he just will not put. He's just pretty much adamant. He will not put them out. The Keep, LA Takedown, and if they've come out, they've come out, you know, not to his approval, that's for sure.
Well, it says there was a director's definitive edition Blu-ray. I don't know if that means he altered the cut, or because I remember seeing the Blu-ray said director's definitive edition, which made me think that was like a different cut, but it may not be.
Of it which, may be which one cut.
Of Heat. Heat.
Oh, okay.
But we got a director's cut of Thief. We got a director's cut of Manhunter, Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. Last of the Mohicans.
I don't think Insider or Collateral got director's cuts. I don't think he went back to those.
Right. Yeah, LA Takedown's one of those ones that should have been put into the Heat special edition Blu-ray as a bonus feature even. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think he was trying to hide from the fact he had just remade his TV movie as a feature film.
Why? In case people say...
He's,
you know why? Because he's worried people say, you know what, I actually liked L.A. Takedown better than he
did. Yeah, because it's tighter and it's not
it is better.
It's not, it doesn't have all the masturbation that Heat has, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Heat. I don't understand why that movie gets so much praise.
What about Jericho Mile? I know you've seen that.
No.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, that was his first, that was that, it was a TV movie he did. I have the Blu-ray, but I've never watched it.
Hmm. I don't recall it even airing, but I may have seen it and forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he did that in 79, so that predates even Thief.
Yeah.
But you know, like, he hasn't done all that many movies, you know, from 81 to 2015. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies. It's not very many.
No.
No, he's not prolific. He's not at all.
Looks like LA Takedown's only been released in the UK on DVD only.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I may have to invest in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got $60 plus? That's what it's going for at the moment.
No. It's one of those British releases.
Which is probably the budget of the whole film.
Yeah. I remember watching LA Takedown when it aired.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be another crime story, because I love crime story, and I love Miami Vice, so I was like, oh, it's more of the same. And I think he produced a show or had some involvement with a show called Private Eye, and I never caught an episode of Private Eye, and apparently a lot of people said that was actually the best thing he was involved in television, but it was a complete ratings failure.
I just found LA Takedown on YouTube.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's a very...
Put it in the chat.
Probably looks as good as the British DVD.
Yeah.
It looks good, you know, looking at it right here, it looks pretty good.
It's probably taken off that DVD.
I dare say it would
probably
be.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's got Michael Rooker. He was in Crime Story.
Mm-hmm. He's in Above the Law.
That's right. That's right. He's in Above the Law for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, he's the guy, the loudmouth at the bar.
He plays Henry from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Well, he was out on the town in between murder people.
Well, Crime Story was filmed in Chicago, or the pilot, at least the pilot was, and they used a lot of Chicago actors. That's where Dennis Farina came from. He was always in the Chicago productions, like Code of Silence, the Chuck Norris movie. He's his ill-fated partner in that movie.
I'm a Chicago actor.
Yeah, he was a former cop.
This is my town, Chi-Town.
Was he really a cop? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a cop. He had a reputation as the Great Wounder because he was such a bad aim. He would shoot robbery suspects, armed robberies, and hit him in the leg or the arm.
He'd throw. Oh, so he's like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon,
but an unintentional Danny Glover.
Like, why don't you just shoot him in the leg?
No, his aim sucked. So. Not a good aim. You know, that bullet will go in.
Well, it's like in Crime Story when he shoots the bad guy in the face, but he shoots right by
exactly
his head.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's like, that was an intentional bad shot because we lost out two seasons if he had got him straight in the face. We wouldn't have gotten more.
Yeah, it would have ended the show pretty quick.
Yeah. But that's a thing. I mean, would this have worked strictly as a TV movie or... Would have need to be expanded out to a TV series. I mean, obviously the ending.
The plan for the show was to do the first novel on television, like what they later did with stuff like The Sopranos. It was the first one with the idea it would be this continuing story, and it was supposed to stretch for 5 seasons. And then but the cost of the show to produce to recreate that 60s setting, it was so expensive, and the ratings were not that good because. After they had 30 million viewers for the premiere, they did the stupid thing networks always do. They put this expensive show up against the big hot show on the other network at the same time, which was Moonlighting. And it got killed against Moonlighting. And they started moving it around the schedule. And I remember having to try to keep up with it because it would be on a different night every week. So they decided, okay, we're going to cancel the show second season, but we'll let you condense... you know, stuff into your 5-year plan into 2 years. So it, but still ended on a cliffhanger.
Okay. I just want to drag it back to Hunter making fun of Vinny as a drone before. They're actually releasing July 27, Alien from LA by Albert Pune on Blu-ray.
I got it.
How did you get it so early?
I got it on their halfway to Black Friday sale. I got it with the slipcase.
Mr. fucking Aeroshell.
Oh my goodness.
I got that one and Six String Samurai in that sale.
Now, how bad of Vinegar Syndrome again did you say? Oh, I got it on halfway to Black Friday sale. Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, no, I here's the thing. When they put out something I want, I'll buy it because I think their packaging rules. They're actually awesome, but most of the movies they put out I just have zero interest in. You know, but Alien from LA, Albert Pune, like in this beautiful slipcover with Kathy Ireland, sign me up. I'm there.
And Tracy Lords. Right?
Yeah, that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that was that. That's one that I was like, yeah, I'll get that. I'll get Six String Samurai. I'll get Beastmaster. I got their Beastmaster one. That was awesome.
Oh my God.
I only have two. I have Death Promise and Count Dracula's Great Love.
I've also got Helms Town.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Very good.
So I've got I have a ton of fingers, but it's a lot of horror I've never heard of or thief and you know, whatever.
Yeah. You just sound like an alien from LA there for a second. Doesn't matter. All right. We'll keep moving on because I'm sure there's somebody out there listening going, someone's finally talking about my favorite TV series of all time, and we're really not. We're talking about Michael Mann and fucking Vinegar Syndrome and etc. So Hunter, you said you'd never seen this before, ever.
Never.
Oh. Okay. And did you know what you're going to expect from this?
Really, I just thought it was going to be like kind of tough crime. I'm sorry. I thought it was going to have Jackie. No, I'm kidding.
Jackie. But, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That crime.
Yeah.
I expected, you know, my Arctic was like my device, Michael Mann on TV. And I expected a little more. Like Chicago right here, and I got it and I really enjoyed it. I thought this pilot was really fun. I got pretty wrapped up in it. Dennis Farina, his character Mark Borello, was kind of a Mike Hammer type. He's kind of cops, he's kind of a Dirty Harry type, you know, he's willing to go a little further, willing to skirt a little bit. But you know, lots of great actors, great talent involved. I thought it was a really fun show, and I'm gonna watch more of it for sure.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. For anybody wanting to watch this, the entire two seasons are on YouTube. Go to a channel called Opium, yeah, like the drug, Opium. That's the name of the channel, and they've got every episode on there. And the episodes, honestly, I put them up against my DVD I've got. They're the same quality. So, yeah, it is, as we said earlier, about as good as it's going to get for now. I'm dead sure. You boys talk for a minute. I know there was a set put out, and I'm pretty sure it was remastered because it sold out pretty quick. It was released in the US. Let me.
I was looking around on Amazon, and I couldn't find anything, but, you know, it's entirely possible that I missed something.
Yeah. You boys carry on. I will check because I'm dead sure.
Oh, I remember there was an Anchor Bay release. Of
that's the one. That's it.
Yeah, I've seen here.
I checked out some discs from the library back in 2008, 2007, and it was kind of the standard TV prints from what I remember. It was no remastering involved. They were just.
I'm seeing one from Image Entertainment here. But, you know, I'm not able to watch it. I just see it here on Amazon.
Right.
It's $20, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. It says in stock soon, though. That's not a good sign.
No, not at all. I imagine this show will eventually get like some sort of Blu-ray hyped up re-release or something from Shout Factory, or, you know, if the music clearances aren't still cleared, because it would be a nightmare, like WKRP or something.
Oh, yeah.
home video without changing a lot of the music, which was an important part of it. Like, if you watch this pilot and it doesn't have some of those songs, like when they're in the Indian bar and they're playing that old little novelty song about Indian romance, it's like it wouldn't be the same.
What was the song they had? Was it Running Bear on your episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, Running Bear. That's what I had on mine. Okay. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, no, in our luck, they'll probably lose all the rights and I'll have something besides Runaway as the opening song. It'll be like some stock standard music. And, oh, no. Got to have Runaway.
It'll be the soundtrack from Coffee again.
The Roy is.
Yes. The reason I bring that up is because Slaughter's Big Ripoff on home video had, okay, in the theaters, it had a great James Brown score. Like, James Brown composed the whole score and everything, not just music, you know, not just a title song, but the entire score.
Yeah.
And then when it was on home video, they didn't want to pay James Brown royalties, so they replaced it with the music from Coffee.
They couldn't pay the Godfather of Soul his dues. Okay.
Right, and that's no sad. Print of it has ever had the James Brown score since.
Terrible. Shame on them.
Yeah, if you see it on streaming, it's got the Coffee score. It's like, that's now the standard version.
Terrible. Just terrible. Not good enough. But you can buy the soundtrack, though, can't you still?
Yep.
Yeah.
The soundtrack's great. It's a terrific soundtrack score.
So you just make your own fan edit and shove the...
Yeah, that's what people are going to have to do. Somebody with a good memory of the music cues or whatever. Because it's a fairly mediocre film. I think the James Brown score would have really helped.
Oh, for sure.
You see Jim Brown throwing around Gene LaBelle to James Brown music, it's got a totally different effect.
Get up! Get on up!
Exactly.
Get up off of that thing!
Bass riffs or something.
All right.
And punch him till you feel better!
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to rate this scene. It looks like we've really maxed out on Crime Story. It's a pretty simple formula.
Yeah, I, you know, it's free on YouTube, Tubi. Go watch it. And if you're an Abel Ferrara
as well, I would say.
Yeah. If you're an Abel Ferrara fan, check out that pilot as well. If you like your gritty, you know, street Abel Ferrara stuff.
If you're a fan of character actors, I mean, the pilot has like Ted Levine, Joseph Wiseman, Dr. No himself is the main mob guy.
It's
a terrific cast, like all around. It's
Oh my God, I didn't even pick him. Is that the old guy at the end who's living on
there?
Yeah,
that's.
Oh my God, I didn't even pick him.
I didn't even recognize him. That's amazing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, this is a pretty stacked cast.
Yeah. Even Billy Campbell, I think he was the Rocketeer later on. He's one of the detectives.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's the young one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only guy from The Rocketeer who wasn't as famous.
Yes.
It's everybody else in that cast.
Yeah. Well, when you have what's-her-name in the film, you sort of get overshadowed by her.
You just don't look at anything else.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Just stare at her the whole time. My goodness.
And also, John Santucci, the guy who played Polly Taglia, he, of course, had a... heightened rep as he was an ex jewel thief and criminal himself. And after his acting career kind of fizzled in the early 90s, he went back to crime.
Did he really? Yeah, oh, yes. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's what Eddie Bunker would have done.
It's basically, he said Eddie Bunker that didn't make it.
Actually, Eddie Bunker that without the success.
Right.
Actually, I've got to wonder, I should check up. Does either Miami Vice or Crime Story ever have an episode with Danny Trejo in it?
Oh, goodness. Miami Vice seems like it would have.
Yeah, that'd be more the obvious choice. I'll check it out.
I pulled up Danny Trejo, Miami Vice, and, well, let's see. Looking to see filmography. I don't think so. I don't think he was in Miami Vice.
He didn't do
He was in Runaway Train.
He did a few Walker Texas Ranger episodes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a given. That's a given.
In the eyes of a ranger.
He did a Jake and the Fat Man.
To be fair, I did a Jake and the Fat Man. Just kidding.
Now, I did not know this. Danny Trejo apparently dubbed the Miramax version of Project A. He did the head pirate villain.
Nice.
That is random.
Miramax, I don't care.
Just... He was on Baywatch.
But he never did a Miami Vice, never did a crime story.
He played Baywatch as drowning Mexican, Danny Trejo. Thank you, man. You saved my life.
Chulo. Chulo. This says chulo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, one of my favorite TV appearances was in Breaking Bad when he was La Tortuga, and he gets his head cut off and put on a turtle.
Oh yeah,
and it blows up and kills all those DEA agents, and Hank has like PTSD for the rest of the show because Danny Trejo's head exploded on a turtle. Awesome!
It's no wonder that Gary liked that show so much.
Yeah, I mean it's awesome when you describe it. It's like, oh yeah, it's really messed up.
He's laughing at that shit.
Danny Trejo's head just blew up. It's almost as good as when Obama's head blew up in that fucking Kingsman movie. Not as good.
Hey, he did an episode of Renegade. Cool for Danny Trejo.
Yeah. Oh,
he did do a Nash Bridges. He appears in Heat.
Oh, so that Nash Bridges
is
gave him a cheek.
Connected to the Michael Mann universe.
Yeah. Danny Trejo.
Yes. One of my favorite Danny Trejo movie appearances is in The Hidden, when the alien is like in the prison and Danny Trejo goes, "Hey, what kind of dude are you?" And then he just gets shot. That's his whole appearance. What kind of dude are you? My wife and I will do that. We'll go, "Hey, what kind of dude are you?"
It's like when he was in Halloween, the Rob Zombie disaster.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. Jeez.
Okay. Tangent time. Rob Zombie is officially doing the monsters, Stu.
Yeah.
What do we think? Is it going to be, is Rob Zombie going to play it straight? Or is it going to be redneck origin, like Herman Munster has the X on his head? And his children are all like cursing a lot and listening to Kiss. And what's it going to be?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm really hoping someone reins him in and says, "You will not be toying with this property like you did with the others, like with Halloween, especially." The Munsters is a 50 year plus sacred institution. If he was to do that, I mean, let's call it fucking Stick Insect Wife is going to be doing Lily Munster. We know that. We can basically,
a given.
That's a given. I really hope she isn't. I hope someone says, "You're not casting her, because if you do, you're off." Because that would kill him. Because he's a massive monster fan.
I think she's going to be in it in some capacity. She has to. Because, he's just not going to do a movie without her. But I think if he's able to do like a PG or maybe PG-13 monsters movie, it might be okay. But if it's the full Rob Zombie, like the monsters in a trailer park, like driving the Dracula, like with, like strippers and Captain Clegg having concerts and all that. I think it could be like just totally nightmare.
You know damn well he's gonna have that Dracula souped up with an 8-track in it, and he's gonna have like
he's already been posting videos on Instagram.
Like fucking.
And the irony of that show is they were actually a very normal family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were a normal family, and treated as outcasts, but they couldn't see the reason why they were outcasts. I mean, the Firefly family he created for his films, pretty much the Munsters, but redneck versions of the Munsters. But
right.
And look, I don't know. I really, honestly, I don't know. I'm hoping he reins it back in because he can be funny when he wants to.
If it's good, I hope it's good. I really do.
So do I. I don't want
Rob
him to
Zombie's
fail.
He's my favorite director to make fun of, you know. But I think one thing they need is they need a cameo by Adam Carolla, and he needs to get beat up by Grandpa Munster, which happened to him in real life.
By Al Lewis the Peacock.
Yeah, Al, he said when he was a kid, he was in the car with Al Lewis because he was like friends with Al Lewis's son or grandson or something. Hmm. And he said he was being a pest in the car, and he said Al Lewis smacked him.
Adam, will you shut up?
Like, just backhanded him.
Oh, wow. That's a...
He always goes up. He always brings up getting hit by Al Lewis.
Well, it wouldn't be happening now because Al Lewis is dead.
Yeah, no, this was when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Schnauzer's dead, but, you know.
But that's why I'm just saying Adam Carolla needs to show up in the film and just get beaten senseless by him. I think.
Yeah, which will
be
probably Bill Mosley as grandpa. Yeah, give him a backhander.
That actually makes sense. I think you can bet on that casting. Bill Mosley is
his grandpa.
Once
it would have been Sid Haig if he was alive, but he's not. So
yeah. Tyler Mane will be in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Probably as Herman. Tyler Mane.
I saw a picture of Tyler Mane at a convention with Clint Howard on Clint Howard's Facebook. Kind of skinny now. Like, I don't know. It doesn't look like he's in fighting shape.
Mm.
You can't maintain that muscle forever, especially if you just got it with a needle. You got a little vitamin S to give you that enhancement. You can't.
Yeah,
you can't forever.
He looked like a tall, skinny guy. Like, I wouldn't have known it was Tyler Mane. Like, Clint Howard was like, oh, ran into Tyler Mane. And I was like, oh, it just looks like a big beanpole.
Well, you know, Butch Patrick's already got a cameo in it. It's already signed off on. He's in there. Because with
who's going to replace her? Who can replace Fred Gwynn?
Tyler Mane.
You think so? Is that announced?
Well, it's not announced, but he's certainly tall enough.
It's a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo is Herman Munster.
Yeah, Danny Trejo. But like Herman Munster, Fred Gwynn just has this personality that's so trademark. You know, replace that? You know,
well, he'll have to go outside the box and just find other people. He can't keep that troop of people he's got and sort of Gumby them to characters they can't do. It's ridiculous. Yeah, you couldn't have who's that guy, John? Boom Boom Washington from
Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Yeah, from Cotter. Name. Yeah, him. I mean, you can't have him as Eddie Munster. It's ridiculous. You gotta go outside the box. He really needs to, as harsh as this sounds, he needs to just completely dump that troop and go of new people.
And he won't. They probably hired him because he can make it cheap and use his people, and they'll his wife probably won't even be paid.
No, she'll probably get points or something like that in the film.
Yeah, scale.
She'll get scale.
Yeah, he'll have people do stuff for scale because he just gets them from horror conventions when he runs into them.
He needs to.
Hey, want to be in my movie?
If he puts the Manson murders somewhere in there, I'll fucking kill him. Because
that's the thing is, I just worry about all of his little picadillos popping up in there. You know, all of his little the little things he likes.
Yeah, he claims he's a monster kid. This is his time to prove it because he's not proven it so far. He just proves that he's just some jack-off that likes to remake the Texas Chainsaw Massacre over and over again.
Yeah, he's always doing the redneck thing
badly.
Yeah.
He needs to scrap everything he knows and just start fresh and just, you can't put any of his sort of redneck tropes that he puts around his films into this monsters, because he'll have the pitchfork and torch crowd after him. He really will if he fucks this one up.
He's got to empty his cup.
Yeah, he really does.
The old Bruce Lee says, he's got to empty the cup. Got to start new.
Yeah. because they got the Addams Family right back in 91. That was a fun watch. I still enjoy watching that film 30 years on. This one's never been done for the big screen. Small TV movies, yeah, it has here and there, and it's failed. It's actually really failed as much as
it tried. Monster Go Home played theaters.
No, I mean after... I mean the ones without Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
They tried Monster Scary Little Christmas.
There were a couple
of,
like, forgotten attempts that people have completely missed.
Oh, I've got Monster Go Home. I actually got the Blu-ray coming in. Because it's got that, and it's got Monster's Revenge, the 81 TV movie, which I love that film. And surprisingly, it's actually got an audio commentary on Monster Go Home by Rob Zombie and Butch Patrick. So you know the seeds were sown right there in that commentary about doing this Monster's, because this was only last year it was released, I believe, or 2019.
Oh, I bet it was a pitch.
Any money. They knew Monster Go Home was coming out. Zombie would have been like, I'll put my hand up and do the commentary for that. So, look, Hunter, to answer your question, mate, I don't know. I want to see pictures, but I don't want to see... I don't want to see nothing, but I want to see everything before I go in there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well... We're definitely doing it on the show.
Oh, yeah, Garrow as well. Must be.
Garrow's already said he's clearing his schedule.
You'll see on Facebook Garrow with he's holding his ticket. Got my ticket to see the Monsters disaster. It'd be a fly on the wall in that theater when Garrow's there watching the Monsters. He's like,
this is shit. This is terrible.
Ian Bren going to see
it. He'll sit there and watch it with a grim look on his face the whole time, and then he'll just unload on our show.
Yeah.
Imagine what John's thinking right now watching this shit.
Because he and I saw Magnolia.
Oh, God.
And he was quiet the whole time, so was I. Man. After the movie, we unloaded on a couple of fellow movie enthusiasts about that film because they really liked it. And oh man,
how the fuck does it rain frogs, you idiot?
I recall I said I was waiting for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come in there and start doing Stone Cold stunners on everybody because I hated everybody in the film. I hated every character.
Yeah,
it's just like I want something to kill them or hurt them.
Tom Cruise is the pickup artist.
Oh yeah!
Yeesh.
Wow, Tom Cruise is the OG Manosphere guy.
It was Daddy Issues the movie. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Manosphere,
it's all we can blame Ernie Anderson for that film.
Yeah. Thanks, Goulardi.
Thanks, Goulardi.
Yeah, for screwing up Paul. Paul Thomas Anderson, who has such bad daddy issues that he has to go and worship Robert Downey Sr., another terrible dad.
Yep.
It's like he grew up rich. It's
like, yeah,
be mad Robert at Downey from your swimming pool when you're
like,
12. Yeah.
Robert Downey Sr., who, like, you know, introduced his son to drugs at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, made what's his butt, Robert Downey Jr., like, set him up for failure. You only by the sheer force of his will was able to overcome it.
He's like, hey, little Robert, come and watch my new movie, Up the Academy. Let's do a ton of drugs.
Yes.
I tell you, if Downey Jr. had not been like an actor or whatever, like a superstar, basically. He would have been like a John McAfee type.
Oh yeah, for sure. R.I.P. John McAfee.
Yeah.
Who did not? John McAfee did not commit suicide.
No, not at all.
No.
Oh, it's another one of those, is it? You reckon?
Oh, he tweeted out like, "If you find me dead in prison, I was not. I did not commit suicide."
Oh my God. Okay.
And he got like a tattoo that said "whacked," and his wife said, I just talked to him on the phone. He said, I'll talk to you later. And he did. He wasn't suicidal. He wasn't acting funny. And, you know, I'm sure John McAfee, you know, I'm sure he could be trolling. But no, come on.
Mm-mm.
The only way he should have gone out in life is by a virus. The one thing his company created was clearing viruses off computer. He should have died of a virus, but he never did. He should have died of the Rona, but not to be.
No, he's too arrogant to kill himself.
Yeah, I think so too. The guy loved like drugs and being crapped on by prostitutes too much to go out like that.
I think Hunter and I considered having him on the show because he was doing just any podcast.
Low res Hans and I were talking about low res goes, that was such a missed opportunity. He goes, we should have had him on a year ago when he would do any podcast. Oh yeah. So believe you me, like that podcast, by the way, I'm on an episode of Low Res Wonder Bread. So go listen to that show. Yeah, by the time this drops, I'm sure it's up. So, but yeah, we talk at length about McAfee on that episode. We talk about, you know, somehow talking about Mike Cimino, you know, another weird guy just leads into McAfee, you know.
Of course. That's pretty natural, actually. They both are big Ayn Rand fans, so.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Press
you know, Cimino wanted to do The Fountainhead with Clint Eastwood, starring as Howard Rourke. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I read an interview where he goes, he was like, I want to do The Fountainhead with Clint. You know, I think he'd make a great Howard Rourke.
Clint's 865 years old these days. He's not doing shit.
This was way back. You know,
I'd want to do
it with Clint. You know, as Howard Rourke, I think he'd be terrific, the boss. You know, I wouldn't be in movies without Clint.
Clint's like, I'd rather do a movie with a fucking monkey again.
One of my greatest regrets was I didn't thank Clint when I won the Oscar for the Deer.
Did you guys talk about the weird look he had, like in his life.
Yes, we did. I talked about how in an interview the Hollywood Reporter guy asked him if he was transitioning and he got super pissed. But yeah, Cimino, you know, he looked like John Lovitz and then he turned into like Mickey Rourke or something, you know.
What?
Like he turned into, you know, who he turned into? He turned into Vinnie Vincent.
Vinnie Hillary Clinton Vincent.
Okay. Yeah. I saw an interview with Cimino from like the late 90s or something. He had this long blonde wig, just like, you know, really clearly lots of plastic surgery and wigs and all kinds of
stuff. That's what
he looked like, one of those mannequin robots from the John Pertwee documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's just a little bit younger than Clint. He was pretty old, you know.
Yeah, he shouldn't look like that.
Yeah. But, you know, go listen to the Low Res show. It's good. If you like our show, you'll like it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm just looking at a picture here of Michael Cimino. He looks like, he looks Asian.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
And he's one of those guys who, after a certain age, like by the time the 90s rolled around, he was always wearing sunglasses in interviews.
My God.
No matter.
Oof.
Stu's discovering this for the first time.
I never knew about it. He looks like a member of a Chinese Oasis tribute band or something. He's just, weird. Well, it's almost like a car crash. I can't take my eyes off these multiple pictures.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
He looks like an old lady version of one of the Gallagher brothers.
Yeah,
you know,
or one of the Huey brothers, actually. Oh my God!
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, he's dead. Oh, yeah. Shit, I didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah, he died. He died in like 2013 or 2015, something like that.
A bit late to the party, Stuart. Wake up.
Well, I mean, Cimino hasn't made a film since like what, 1990? You know, like he was way out of the game.
Oh, wasn't his last one Desperate Hours? Was that it?
No, his last one was Sun Chaser, which was right after Desperate Hours.
Okay.
He did one more film after no one saw Sun Chaser, you know, so nah, Desperate Hours may have seemed like nobody saw that one either, but
no, nobody went to see that.
Actually,
it played theaters.
He played for theaters 1 week. I saw it in that 1 week. Desperate Hours played 1 week only, and it was ripped away out of theaters. Good film. I really enjoyed it, actually. I got the soundtrack as well on the shelf. Yeah.
Lores was saying he wants to see it because he's a big Mickey Rourke fan, and that was on his list of movies to watch.
Chimino and Mickey Rourke were exchanging plastic surgeon.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we talked about that. We were saying that, I think they were hanging out with the same plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
Very likely.
They need to get that Dead Kennedys EP, Plastic Surgery Disasters,
and just
put a collage of Mickey Rourke and Michael Cimino and Vinnie Vincent on the front.
Yeah, just very strange. He's one of those people who aged really bizarrely because of all the work he had done. Did not look normal.
No.
For his age.
No. Didn't look normal altogether.
Yeah.
Never mind.
He kind of looked like, the skinny John Lovitz, Italian American guy. And then he sort of looks like an old model or something when he's.
No, I know who he looks like. Now he looks like that actor who plays Lopan in Big Trouble.
James Hong.
That's James Hong, yeah.
The girl with the green eyes. I want to look like her.
Revenge of the Nerds 2 is James Hong. Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah.
As Booger's Sensei. All right. We better wrap it up.
What are we going to rate Crime Story, John? What would you give it?
It's an 8. It's a terrific boost pilot.
Mm. All right. So you gave it higher than Miami Vice, which we both gave a 7.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I think it's better than the Miami Vice pilot, which I liked, but this is better.
Mm. Yeah, I liked the Miami Vice pilot quite a bit. I think this is better as well. So I'm with you. What about you, Stu?
All right, I'm giving it a 7. I'm putting it on par with Miami Vice, even though two very, very different films. I'm giving Michael Cimino's Plastic Surgeon 1. James Hong Cimino's. Man, I can't take my fucking eyes off these pictures. It's just, it's unreal. I'm fixated.
Yeah, go on YouTube. You can watch him speak. There's some speaking
things. It's going to be my new Facebook profile.
Oh, no, I know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, go look. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher.
I got a
reacher.
Stack of movies to watch. I'm going to watch this garbage. This late freak.
I would give it an 8. I think it's really solid television. The shootouts are great. It seems gritty and intense for TV at this time, I think.
Yeah.
It is. It was. It was very intense for television at the time.
And it actually gets, the series gets better as it goes along.
Yeah, I'm going to watch more of it. I'm sold on it. I'm going to definitely watch more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of things to watch, go to YouTube and watch Kevin Samuels' channel. It's awesome.
Kevin Samuels.
You've never heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. You're missing out.
Kevin Samuels. All right.
The Black Geezer. His channel is awesome. Just,
all right.
Manosphere Channels is all I watch these days on YouTube. It's all I watch. Kevin Samuels, Coach Greg Adams, Donovan Sharp. It's basically Fresh and Fit. That's all I watch. That's all I watch.
Right.
Yeah. As every man should.
You're gonna, we gotta watch, what is it, Roosh V?
What the hell is that?
Roosh V's not Manosphere anymore. He's like Russian Orthodox or something.
What?
Yeah.
None of those scenes make any sense to me. Yeah, I just don't get it.
Mm.
Or was it Chateau Hartiste? Isn't that one of the Manosphere blogs? Chateau Hartiste.
Is this still around?
I don't know. I think they might have gotten shut down.
That whole scene's cuckoo. So I don't know.
Chateau Hartiste. Let me see. Ooh. Okay, there's Hartiste on game. So there's a book. Hartiste on game. Yeah. You can go buy it on Amazon. But it looks like I don't see the blog on Google, but, well,
no,
hold on.
Blogs are 2010. They're gone. No one cares about them. Everything's YouTube channels these days.
Well, this was a pretty influential Manosphere blog for a long time, but I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm clicking on it, and it's not opening up. Oh, wait. Okay. Chateau Hartiste. Okay, there is a blog here. So maybe they've moved it over to Hartiste.org.
No.
So
just watch Kevin Samuels and Coach Adams and Donovan Sharp. That's all you need. And Fresh and Fit. Just go with those. But anyway, just quick before we go, Arrow Video announces September releases. Hunter, I want to know which of these you will be getting. All right. Legend 4K.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Okay. Walk on the Wild Side. Jane Fonda, Lawrence Harvey, Barbara Stanwyck. No. Nope.
Jane Fonda, no thank you.
Children of the Corn, 4K.
No, I have it on Blu-ray. I don't need a 4K of Children of the Corn.
Okay.
Just you have it on Blu-ray is sad.
Yeah.
The movie sucks.
That's the time when you just keep quiet and don't say you've got it at all.
Yeah, why'd you admit to that, huh?
Malachi boy.
You know, what was it, Stu? Is there more?
You're a Malachi boy. It's all you are. You're in love
with
Malachi.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Hunter's excuse was, well, I really like that Testament song, Disciples of the Watch, so I just went and bought it on Blu-ray.
That's true. Yeah, there you go.
It's $25 on sale at a half-price book.
And there's the slip cover, the Arrow slip cover.
I got money to burn. Come on. Yeah. It's your Arrow shelf.
Danny Elfman had no albums out that week, so...
Danny Elfman... There were no new Danny Elfman records.
No Danny Elfman vinyl.
I had already gotten the Dick Tracy blue vinyl from Barnes & Noble, so...
Yeah, right. Danny says he reads George Will. He's very balanced.
Yes. He had a song called Capitalism on that Oingo Boingo record.
And he's a Scientologist as well.
That was about... Isn't that Richard?
Oh, is it? I know.
Yeah, Richard Elfman's a Scientologist.
Oh, my apologies. Okay. Apologies to the church there for being associated with Danny Elfman. All right, moving on. Death Screams.
Nah.
You know of it?
I don't know much about it, but I kind of looked at it and I just went, I don't know. It looks like some horror schlock. I don't know.
The Snake Girl and the Silver-Haired Witch.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Oh. That looks cool.
Cold War Creatures, four films from Sam Katzman, whoever the hell it is.
Hell yes, I will be getting that. It's got the giant claw. It's got, you know, Creature with the Atom Brain. It's got all those movies that, you know, Rocky Erickson wrote songs about.
Okay, it means you don't have to buy it, though. It's not a prerequisite you have to buy it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because Mill Creek will put out a cheap alternative.
It's true. Actually, there's a Mill Creek DVD of Creature with the Atom Brain, so right.
Speaking of that, you haven't got the Miami Vice Blu-ray set, have you, Hunter? That Mill Creek.
No, but I want it. I need to get it.
Because we were talking about it last week, John and I, and he said, was there a Blu-ray release? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure Mill Creek brought it out, but I wasn't entirely
sure.
Yeah,
they did.
Okay. All right, the last one, I believe the films of Olivier Assayas.
Assayas, no, that's a UK release, and I have the Criterion Irma Vep. I'm just not all that interested, and I like some of his movies, but not enough to import it.
Isn't that sad words here? I have the Criterion Irma Vep, whatever the fuck that movie is.
Yeah, never sounds so pathetic to say.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I keep no secrets. So.
Criterion used to be a label of power. You said you had Criterion.
It's true. Actually, Low Res and I were talking about how much Criterion has fallen. But
they're down like a fourth or fifth on the rung of importance now, behind Arrow.
Yeah. They're too busy. They're too busy groveling to the New York Times, begging for forgiveness.
They're even behind 88 Films these days. 88 Films are putting out better shit than Criterion.
I just ordered like something like 12 Blu-rays from 88 Films.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was
I never bought that much from Criterion.
Did you order New Year's Evil?
No.
Oh, that's a good
no
one.
No slasher stuff. It was all I ordered was pretty much all the Jackie Chan stuff that I needed, and because I've been sitting on, you know, holding off on ordering everything for a while.
Is there stuff region free, or do you need a?
You need a region break.
I've got all region player, but I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, they're not region free, and I got like a couple of Eurocrime films, like the two that I really dig, like Rambo's Revenge or Syndicate Sadist, whatever you want to call it.
I just got that Eurocrime set that Arrow put out.
Oh yeah,
Years of Lead.
Right, I'm waiting for that to go on sale at some point.
I need to pick up.
Happens.
I need to pick up Hell Knight. It's coming out in the UK.
Isn't there more Arrow stuff coming out September?
How much more do you want?
Well, we gotta get to the Spaghetti Western box set, because that's not definitely a purchase.
No, it's not even listed. That's it.
Oh, okay. What? My goodness, let me see when that's coming out.
That has the Brute and the Beast on it, right?
Yeah, it's gonna have Masker Time.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's going to have Masker Time, which we covered on the show.
Will it have both dubs?
Good question.
Yeah.
Me.
Holding on to that Wild East DVD.
It's called Vengeance Trails for Classic Westerns. It's coming out. Oh, it's coming out July 27th, so it's not September. But it's got My Name is Pecos, God Said to Cain. Let's see here. Trying to see what the features are, but Amazon doesn't really say. Banditos, Masker Time. Okay. New documentary featuring interviews with Franco Nero, archival interviews with George Hamilton.
Oh god.
Not seeing the audio tracks on here, but be good to know.
Yeah, it would.
And you are getting Zack Snyder's Justice League, are you?
Hell yeah.
I'm not, but
hell yeah, I'm getting Justice League so I can cancel HBO Max, you know, so I can watch it on repeat somewhere else. Here,
September 7th being released in the US.
Yeah, that's right.
We got it on May 26. We got it over
I know,
a month ago.
Yeah, everywhere else got it. Like, Low Res imported it from, like, Italy or something.
Oh, okay.
So
I just don't need it for the shelf.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay, but I watched that movie, and I did not want to watch anything else with CGI for, like, a month.
Okay, the Masker Time, it says alternate U.S. dub.
That's the IP dub or whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. It says, but it also has Italian. Okay.
Right. So. Which who wants to watch it?
Who cares? Yeah. No. With this stuff, you got to watch it dubbed. That's how you watch.
And the Kurt Russell classic Overboard's coming out in August.
That's my mom's favorite movie.
Really?
Not kidding. Yeah, she loves that movie. Yeah.
Is it Severin putting that out?
Yes. Yes,
yeah, that was the joke on one of the threads was they were talking to the licensor because they were getting their usual exploitation films, and they go, okay, any other titles you want? And they just said as a joke, Overboard. And they went, okay. So they ended up making us a Bells and Whistles edition of Overboard.
You know, Severin is putting out, speaking of Criterion's further fall from grace, Severin is putting out a 4K Blood for Dracula. And Vinegar Syndrome is putting out a 4K Flesh for Frankenstein.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, geez.
Isn't that great? Love it.
Criterion must be underfunded. That has to be the problem.
But, and they're just putting out like garbage. Like, oh, we need this. You know, it's every month. There's like one thing maybe I'll want, but maybe. And a lot of times it's a re-release. Like, I think next week Pickup on South Street is getting a Blu-ray, you know, I'll get that. I like that, but that was already on DVD, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at the stuff that's new to the collection, like my shelf has been expanding at such a slow rate with them because they just haven't been putting out anything worth getting.
At the last Barnes & Noble sale for Criterion, the only thing I found that I wanted and bought was I Married a Witch, the Veronica Lake comedy.
Yeah, you got to get that Veronica Lake stuff because she's hot.
Yeah, and it's also just I like having kind of the weird, whimsical little 40s comedies around, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
Are any She's of you guys, also hot. Any of you guys getting the 4Ks of Maniac Cop 2 or 3? I am. I'm not going to lie. I
love the first Maniac Cop. I think it's cool. Second one, I remember thinking was all right, but, you know. Maybe.
I like it.
You're misremembering. Maniac Cop
I think so.
Blows the other ones out of the water.
Okay, I must be. I must be misremembering. Well, then I'll check it out.
Maniac Cop 2 is like fucking rock and roll.
I like it.
It is. They let, what's his name, Spiro Rosados or whatever his name, just do these crazy action scenes. It's nuts.
I'm going to watch it again.
I'll just have you doing double takes the whole time.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go watch it again and reassess it. Oh, Jim Steranko's on Twitter, you guys. He's answering stuff. Go get your questions.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a cue to cut this one.
All right. Well, guys, the only thing I have to plug is go listen to my guest appearance on Low Res Wonder Bread at Low Res WB on Twitter. So check that out.
Nice.
Anything to plug, Stu?
Yeah, I'm just looking up Vinegar Syndrome's sex titles, what's coming out. That's it.
For Stu's old porn shelf.
You can
coming this fall from the Midnight Movie Cowboys Media.
You can never, ever get enough sex and nudity in life, ever. So.
And, John, you're going to be on something soon. Will it be out when you're on here and when this show's out?
I don't know. I recorded it a few weeks ago, the East Meets the West podcast. And,
look at all these fucking defectors here, friends. My God, I don't defect anywhere. These ones, oh, I'm over here, and I'm over here. It's like,
listen, we're like the Wu-Tang Clan, you know. We gotta go.
We're spread out.
Spread the word. Yeah.
So, yeah, go check those out. The episode of Low Res I'm on is The Sicilian, so that's what we're talking about Cimino on there. So, but we talk about other stuff, too. So keep an eye out for those guest appearances. Anything to add, Stu, before you go update your old porn shelf?
No, I'm cataloging it. I'm not updating it today. I'm cataloging it.
Oh, okay.
Running order, year of release, starlet's first name, all that sort of stuff. Any excuse for sex?
Well,
no, actually, no. I just want to say it's really nice to be back. And also, a big thanks to Eric for filling in for all that time. I appreciate it.
And, you know.
He'll be back.
Eric will be on more too. Yeah, of course. He's not. He's not gone. If you like Eric, you know, he'll be back.
He just doesn't want to sit through something on Tubi.
Yeah,
like he's Gen Z. He cannot handle ads.
And he hates Michael Mann. He doesn't like Michael Mann.
Oh, really?
He didn't really want to.
Because I said get Eric on for Miami Vice because he's from Miami, and I talked to him on the phone and I said, "Oh, are you going to do the Miami Vice show?" And he goes, "No, I don't like Michael Mann. Don't care." You know? I went, okay.
Gen Z cynicism. Which I don't blame him. It's like
he's not a Zoomer. He's a millennial. He's my age.
Yeah, he is a millennial. But it's like I don't blame him because I talked to him about it as well, and we were in agreement on Heat, how overrated it was.
Yeah. I think the later stuff has poisoned his view. I think
if he had just made Thief and Manhunter, we'd remember him as that great. You know, two-shot director who
it's like Walter Hill who public.
Yeah, exactly.
Walter Hill had those awesome movies in the 80s, and then Streets of Fire, 70, sorry, yeah, the 78, but even some of the 70s stuff like Long Riders is hugely overrated, but
it is. But The Driver and Hard Times are great.
Oh, yeah, The Warriors, you know, it's good stuff.
And
all right,
keep,
guys.
And
well,
the keep.
Oh,
don't forget about The Keep. I enjoy the film.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Well, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and say adios.
Yeah. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.